Well, it's really good to be in the house of God. It's good to see all your happy faces. But when I first walked in, I thought, why aren't they rejoicing in here? I know you do. But, you know, one day I listened to the live stream and there was just so much joy and everything. And I thought that made me even want to be in the church, house of the Lord even more. But I walked in somewhere and said, oh, where's all this joy I heard on the live stream? You must have lost it somewhere, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I read the other day where if you lose your joy, then you're really not walking in the Spirit. So think about that. It made me think about that, you know. So you have to get back there and get back walking in the Spirit so you can have your joy back. All right, now, when you have COVID, one of the side effects is it makes your hair fall out. So my hair was falling out by the handful and the brush fulls and everything else. So I went to the beauty shop and I thought if I got it cut, it could fall out. But she said, no. She said, did you have a high fever? I said, yeah, I did. And she said, the high fever for that many days burnt the follicles of the hair. And she said, I was wondering what happened to you, because she was working with my hair and she wouldn't say anything, but she was getting handfuls of hair. And every place I went, you know, I was shedding hair everywhere. So I called Sister Nancy and I said, well, I'm not going to get away because I'm going to believe God's going to give me back my hair. All right. So if you're wondering why my hair is short and everything else, it's because it all fell out. You know, there's a lot going on out there in the world. And sad to say, the church is part of it. You know, the church has fallen into that doubt and unbelief. Even though God told us that we were going to go through these dark, trying times, God's told me that the church they haven't grasped hold of that yet. And so what's going to happen when the things really get rough? There are so many good teachings that God gave me while I was laid up. And they're teachings that need to be heard right now. Because we're in a state where if we don't get it together, we're never going to get it together. And, you know, just with, you know, I've been sick. I was sick a month before I got sick. I was just losing my strength and everything. So I've been sick quite some time. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being sick. You know, and I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me the other day. I was sitting at my computer getting this service together. And the Holy Spirit went from my feet, clear up through my body to my head. A couple hours later, I was still sitting there studying. And then the Holy Spirit came on me and went from my head down to my feet. Now, I don't know what God did, but he did something, because that doesn't ever happen to me. It might to you all. I mean, if I'm talking to somebody, I say, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. But I've never just felt him just for nothing. And then yesterday morning, I was sitting on the edge of my bed talking to one of the kids, and the Holy Spirit just consumed me all over. Well, I'm telling you this to tell you is God's doing something. Whether we know it or not, God is doing something. And you have to be in tune to what the Holy Spirit is doing so that you can let God do whatever he wants to do. Well, I said, I know you healed me, God. I thank you for that. I mean, you know, and he might have been doing something else, but I thanked him for that. So you really have to be walking in the Spirit right now. And God is going to show you lots of things. And you need to start acting on them. One day when I was sick, God kept showing me this light blue and pink. It was beautiful. And white all around it. And I knew it was in the sky. And he said, keep watching. Look, keep looking up. And we were coming home from the beauty shop the other day. And the kids said, look at the sky. That was what I saw in my vision. It was the clouds were white, but they weren't big clouds. They were all, you know, looked like cotton balls. And here was this blue and this pink, exactly like it was in my vision. God is showing us things. Are you watching it and are you listening? You're going to have to, I don't know about you, but every time, the minute I woke my eyes and say, God, let me walk in the Spirit today. Let me hear your voice in the Spirit. Let me see in the Spirit. I don't want to walk in the natural or hear in the natural anymore. This is where you have to be. And this is where you have to stay. Yes, His glory is coming. I don't know what day. You know that. I've been saying that for 10 years now, I think. But it is coming. But in the meantime, God is trying to get His church lined up so that the glory won't kill them. See, if God can't get the church lined up, He is going to do that through the remnant. But if He can't get the church lined up, no glory can fall. There wouldn't be anybody around. And you guys are glory carriers. And you have to understand that you are a remnant church. You are a glory carrier. And God is going to just drop Himself on you in any given second, in any given day. Be prepared for that. God, my vessel's open for You to drop on it. My vessel's open for You to use me, no matter how you want to use me today. And let Him take you into the spirit realm and let Him start showing you dreams and visions. I've had more dreams these 2 months than I have in my lifetime. How many of you are dreaming a lot lately? Pay attention to your dreams. Really see, are they from God or are they from the devil? God wants to speak to us more now than He ever has spoken to us. But we have to understand that the enemy's going to speak also. So don't allow the enemy, you make sure that you know if it's God's voice or the enemy's voice. All right? And what does the word say? His sheep know His voice, and no other voice will they follow. Well, Father God, we just thank You this morning. We praise You. We give You all honor and all glory right now. Father God, if there's something that You're trying to do here right now, then You have full permission to do it. Holy Spirit, just come in. Consume us right now. Angelic host, do whatever You were sent to do. And Father God, we do nothing outside of You. We thank You for it, Father. We give You honor and we give You glory. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, we thank You. God's saying it's time to rise up and be seated in heavenly places and quit allowing the enemy to unseat you. It's time you go up into that third heaven and stay there. God's saying to each one of you, He's given a mandate this morning right now to come and sit at His table and dine with Him. The teaching I'm going to give this morning is about a lying spirit, the body of Christ is falling into this crack or whatever you want to call it. The enemy's coming and telling you things that is not of God, and you're believing the enemy, you're believing the lie. Even in this church, over the years, I've seen where, you know, God will speak something to somebody, but that isn't what they wanted to hear. And so they keep coming back and keep coming back, you know. And finally, I remember one time in particular, God said, "All right, so this is what you want to hear, so this is what I'm going to tell you." It was contrary to what God really wanted done in that person's life. But they didn't want to hear what God had to say. So God said, "Okay, if you want to hear this, I'm going to tell you this." And He did. But I watched that person, and that person turned around. That person realized, hey, that wasn't what I really wanted. That isn't where God wants me. So I'm going to turn around and do what's right, what He has been telling me all along. But a lot of people don't do that. They don't turn around. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. And Micah, who was a true prophet of God, said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the host of heaven, angels standing beside Him on His right hand and on His left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?'" Now see what God said? And the Lord said, "Who will entice Ahab that he may go up to and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" And one said one thing and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, "I will entice him." Who came forward? a spirit. If we read the scriptures ahead of that, it said that the host of angels, the heavenly host, was on both sides of God. But here it said a spirit came forth saying, and stood before the Lord saying, I will entice him. Notice this does not say one of the hosts. It says spirit. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, you know, the spirit said, I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you. In 1 Kings 22:19, this is a troubling passage in which we see that God used a lying spirit to deceive Ahab. God does use evil, lying spirits to do his bidding. Why would God do such a thing? To find the answer to this question, we need to learn a little background about King Ahab and also understand something about the sovereignty of God. And as you're listening to this, I want you to really take it into your spirit, because the lying spirit is out there deceiving God's very elect. King Ahab was the son of Omer, and he reigned over Israel and Samaria for 22 years. Find that in 1 Kings 16:29. Continuing the example of his father, Ahab did evil in the sight of God by worshiping Baal, and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And that's in 1 Kings 16:33. Ahab again and again proved he was bent on evil, evidenced by his continual refusal to listen to the prophet Elijah's warnings. See, God kept sending the king warnings to the true prophet, but he would not heed God's warnings to the true prophet. Ahab accused Elijah of troubling Israel by the drought, but Elijah declared that it was Ahab's own sin that caused the troubles for the nation, and that's in 1 Kings 18:18. Since Ahab had declared war on God by killing his prophets, and that's in verse 13, God then brought the war to Ahab in the form of a contest between the 450 prophets of Baal on one side and Elijah on the other. And that's in 1 Kings 18:19-40. When God miraculously verified Elijah's status as his true prophet, Ahab should have repented, but he remained in his sinful rebellion, fueled by the wicked anger of his wife Jezebel. Even though he knew there was a true prophet bringing him a message, he still remained in his evil. In many subsequent incidents, God again showed his power and mercy to Ahab, but the king refused to submit and obey him. Finally, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came to visit him, and Ahab persuaded him to join in battle to take Ramoth-Gilead from the Syrians. See, Ahab convinced Jehoshaphat to join him. But look what Jehoshaphat did. Wisely, Jehoshaphat insisted that they seek God's will in the matter. So Ahab brought 400 false prophets together. They all assured him that God would give them victory. And that's in 1 Kings 22:6. Jehoshaphat recognized their falsehood. See, he knew the fruit, and asked whether a true prophet of God could be summoned. Ahab acknowledged that Micah was a true prophet, but he hated him because he never prophesied anything good about me, but always bad. And that's 1 Kings 22:8. Now, if you're a true prophet of God, you're going to have people say that to you. You always prophesy bad things to me. They'll say that to you. You know, and it's really God trying to get you straightened out and showing you what's wrong in your life. And it's up to you whether or not you listen to the true prophet and get your life together, or follow the lie. Micah, the true prophet, was brought before the kings and delivered God's final warning to Ahab. He said that if they went to war, they would be defeated and left without a king. Ahab replied, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good about me, but only bad? 1 Kings 22:18. Once again, Ahab was rejecting the clear warning from God and choosing a path of wicked rebellion. In response to Ahab's constant choice of sin, God revealed some of the inner workings of the spiritual world. God had already pronounced a death sentence upon Ahab in 1 Kings 20:42 and then 21:19, but had given him the opportunity to repent of his wickedness. With his final rejection of God's counsel, God determined to carry out the death sentence. This happens, so this, you know, people want to get married to a certain person. And so they come and they want prophesied over and they want me to tell them that they're to marry that person. But God will say, no, you know, this is not the one I want for you. And they go ahead and marry the person anyhow, saying that I was not a true prophet and it really wasn't God speaking. Then they came back. Then they come back and went, no, why didn't you tell me it wasn't going to work? And God's told people they should get married. And then he's turned around and said, well, no, wait. Because from the time he said you should get married and the time he said, wait, some bad things are happening. And God doesn't want you to get tied up with that bad thing. And what he's doing is the one that's turned bad, he's going to work on them and try to get them right. So then you can get married and be, united properly. But a lot of people just say, oh, well, no, God told me I should get married. So then I'm going to get married and we'll work this thing out. It never works out. It never works out. And so then what happens when you go through all the mess in your life, you blame God, and it wasn't God, it was you. Like I told you before, I married my first husband. As I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, I heard a voice, and I didn't know that, what I know now, say, don't walk down that aisle. But I didn't know that was God speaking, and I said, well, I got to do this because of this, this, and this. And I spent 40 years in a lot of mess. Because I didn't obey that voice, but then nobody ever told me that was God speaking, that God spoke to you either. So, you know, if you're going to live the life that God, the happy life God wants you to live, then you need to be willing to listen to the prophet of God and then do what the prophet of God tells you, because a true prophet only speaks what God speaks, no more, no less. All right, since Ahab continued to prefer the lies of his false prophets over the truth given by God's prophets, God chose to use the false prophets to carry out his plan. When God asked for volunteers to entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there, in 1 Kings 22:20, a spirit, it was a fallen angel or demon, said he would be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. God gave the spirit permission to proceed, and Ahab received the message he desired. All right, I'm going to use Brother Brett as an example. Him and his wife got married, and he was a mess. And God kept dealing with him about he had to treat his wife like God, Jesus treated the church. Well, he wasn't doing that. And God dealt with him for years, didn't he? So one day he said, okay, you don't want to treat her as Christ treats the church? I'm going to separate you. Well, that got Brett's attention. And so Brett started turning around and changing. Then he had to deal with his wife, because then his wife was hurt. And so she wasn't going to accept his love and everything else. After all, you hurt me. So then God had to deal with her and tell her, okay, you know, if that's what you want, even though I want you to be married, if that's what you want, then I'm going to separate you. I wasn't a false prophet. It was them not doing what God was telling them to do. And see, whenever God said, okay, if that's what you want, I'm going to let you have your freedom. I'm going to separate you two. So I had nothing to do with what they were doing. God was just using me as a mouthpiece to speak to them, because they sure weren't hearing God properly, right? Is that true, Brett? That's true, right, Brett? I said, thank you. See, he has to say yes. All right. So we said God gave the spirit permission to proceed, and Ahab received the message he desired. God chose to use a lying spirit because Ahab rejected God's rebukes and warnings all through his life, and the cup of God's wrath was full. I might look at Aaron and think he's just a perfect person, but deep down he's not. He's got some hidden issues going on. God knows Aaron. And God will speak to Aaron to the issues he has inside of him. And it's up to Aaron then to go ahead, and he's going to say, well, you know, she's a false prophet. I don't have that problem. Yes, you do, or God wouldn't have brought it up. That's why I tell you, you know, there's many false prophets out there. You have to be careful who you go and let prophesy over you, even in his church. I would not let somebody come up and prophesy over me unless I've seen God use him and watched her fruit. You know, a false prophet can slip in anywhere. Just because the anointing's going flowing doesn't mean that the false prophet can't come in too. Since God's sovereign over all of creation, he is not restricted in what or whom he can use to accomplish his holy purposes. All of creation is under his authority, and he chooses to use people and spirits, both good and evil, to bring his divine plans to pass and bring glory to himself. When God restored King Nebuchadnezzar, the king said in Daniel 4:35, he does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? God is God. If you live with Isaiah, he'll ask you 50 times a day, where'd God come from? You know, God just is, and God is God. And you know, and he'll do what he wants to do. Whether you like it or not, he's going to do that thing. If you notice there, it said he was going to put the lying spirit in the prophet's S on the end. So that means any prophet that this person, Ahab, went to, they would lie to him. And God would even use another prophet to confirm that. Because that person, that's what that person wants to hear. And so God's going to use every prophet they go to say the very same thing the first prophet said. Are you understanding this? Because it's what you want to hear. So God said, okay, he's dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you. He's okay, this is what you want to hear. Then every prophet you go to, this is what you're going to hear. Word for word, you're going to hear it. Now, one time when I was out evangelizing, I went to this one church once a year. And the pastor's wife did not believe in prophets at all. And every time I went, I'd prophesy to her. So the third year I went there, after I prophesied to her in the services, you know, near the end, she stood up there. She said, I want to tell you one thing. I now believe in prophets. This woman has come 3 years in a row and prophesied word for word for word exactly what she said the first time around. So that's God. And then she came to the meetings every time I was there. But see, God wanted to let her see there were true prophets. So every time I prophesied to her, it was the very same identical thing, word for word. But I wasn't a lying spirit. I was a true prophet. And now that's a good side thing. But the other thing, if you have, all right, let's just say that Grace is married. And she wants to hear God say, divorce your husband. And God will tell her, you know, she's supposed to love her husband, and he's going to draw them close together. But Grace keeps saying in her mind, no, I want a divorce. Eventually, what's going to happen is God's going to send a lying spirit through a prophet to her to tell her, all right, go ahead and get a divorce. See how this works? And then, after you listen to the lying spirit and get the divorce, you realize, oh, I wasn't supposed to do this. You see this? God will let you have what you want. Be careful what you ask for. In the case of Ahab, God chose to use a lying spirit to accomplish his perfect and righteous plan. In Psalm 18:30 says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Those who repent of their sins will receive forgiveness just like Ahab could have. You know, so if you're one of these like Ahab and, you know, you kept wanting the wrong thing and you got the wrong thing and you realize it, then you can repent and God will forgive you and God will restore you. The real question is, will I respond to God's warnings with faith and obedience, or will I reject his counsel and be rejected by him? I've had God say to me, he's asked me to do something, I didn't want to do it. And he said, are you going to be obedient? you know. And I had to, and I knew what he meant. You either be obedient or I'm going to reject you. And I had to be obedient to what God's asked me to do. All right, 2 Chronicles 18, 19 and through 21. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, another that. We're reading this over again. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked. I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. If God places a lying spirit in a prophet, they will succeed in drawing that person into doing what they want to do, not what God wants to do. Why? Because the deception was lying deep within them. Anyhow, I'm just telling you what God's saying right now. The deception was down there, deep in there, and it was brooding, and God's trying to get rid of that. So be very careful what you do, how you do it, and make sure you know what you're asking God for when you ask. Now, if God has given you a promise, that promise is still yes and amen until he says it's over. Every now and then, people would get so messed up that God says, well, we're going to go a different road now. You wouldn't do what I asked you to do, and you've gone too far. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to go a different way. More or less, you've lost that ministry, and now God's going to give you another ministry. And I don't know about you, but I cry out to God constantly, God, don't take my ministry from me. Yeah, because I know what the ministry is going to do. It's going to help people. And to God, don't let me do anything that's going to cause me to lose what you gave me. I don't know about you, but I fear God in that way. I really do fear him because I know that God can say enough is enough, and it's enough. And there's, and he shuts that door and there's no going back. You did not do what God told you to do. You know, God's told you, you got to love your wife or you got to love your husband. You do that for a day, then I'm not going to do this. You're walking in dangerous ground when you do that. If God's told you love your husband or your wife or your kids, do it. And because God knows what he's doing and God is working. God always tells me I'm working behind the scene. And what God is doing is he's working things out that aren't good for you. And he's asking you to do what is good for you so you can walk into that goodness that God is getting ready to give you. Matthew 24:15 says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. I put this in there because God gave me that when I was first born again. God gave me that scripture, and he told me. And then he told me, he said, "There's evil all around you." And see, I didn't know the church was in a mess because I just got born again. Before, I just went to church like y'all did, and my spiritual eyes weren't opened. And then God opened my spiritual eyes, and let me see how corrupt the church really was. And I didn't go into what I thought was going to be heaven on earth. I went into what was hell on earth. The churches are messed up, and they don't bring heaven to earth. And so God told me right then and there that I was walking in the abomination of desolation. In other words, the junk that's going on in the churches. The pastors are messed up. Yet God gave me scriptures about the pastors, saying one thing over the pulpit and then doing something else in the dark. The church has been, and that was in 1978, so the church had been messed up for a long time. If you're going to lead the sheep, then you make sure that you're just like Jesus. Are you listening here? And God told us if we can't live it, don't preach it, don't teach it. Because God's really going to judge you if you're doing something that you're not supposed to. If you're teaching one thing and living and not living it. All right. There's many of us sitting here this morning. God has asked us to do something, just like this sickness. God said, I'm working it out. I'm going to heal you. And I'm fighting cancer too. And you have all these pains going through your body and you have to do things for God. And you think, I say, God, you've got to heal me. It's getting worse, not better. If I'm going to go out there, which you said I was, and I'm going to do all these mighty works for you, then I can't go out there lame and crippled. And I don't want, you know, and he isn't saying you're healed, and I don't want him to hear him say that. I know if I'm healed or not. You know, he told me, he said, in the heavenly realm, you're healed. But, you know, people say, well, don't say you're still sick. Well, you know, it's a fact. But I know that God said he's going to restore my health and my youth, and I was going to do mighty works for him. And in the meantime, I have to admit to the truth. I don't want no devil come saying you're healed and then take away the pain and really I'm not healed. You know, I thought about James Goal. Him and his wife both had stage 4 cancer. They went to every healing ministry there was. She died. And right after she died, God healed him. And his ministry is powerful now. But God took her, but left him. It's not up to him to question, why did you do this, God? He's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. All right? So Matthew 24:24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And we're living in that area. We've been living in that place for a long time. And because God told us the false prophets, the antichrists are already here. You know, Christ with an S in the end. They're already here. So they're all around us, the false prophets and the antichrist. But the antichrist has not come on the scene yet. But there are little antichrists everywhere. And see, we just get so messed up. And so we just think that God's going to put us in a bubble and we don't have to, you know, and blind our eyes so we don't see any sin and we don't have to do anything. But that's not the truth. Everything God said is he wants us to be giant slayers. He wants to get us out there and fight so that the drug addiction is broken, you know, and so that the Wade versus Roe is overturned and all that stuff. We have to be out there in the midst of the battle, period. So if you want to withdraw into a corner, then you're not working for God. You're no good to God. You know, you have Brother Brett back there. He stands up and preaches. You can see the pain in his face if you really look at him closely. You know, it's hard for him to stand because his legs are weak. But he's still out there doing things for God. He's not laying in a bed somewhere. In fact, I said, I lay there in a bed. I couldn't get up and walk. I said, why? I said to my family, why is it other big people can do this, and I can't even get up and walk with the pain in my leg? You know. I don't ever just lay and do nothing. My mind is, you know, I think I have to oil the gears every now and then. They go so fast. So just don't lay and, you know, and think about, poor me. Find out from God, what is going on in my life that I can't do the things that you're calling me forth to do? Get your answers from God, not people, but from God. He's the only one that knows the truth. All right, this is what God has to say. Church, you can no longer go on as you have been. You hear my word and do not respond in like manner. From this day forth, when you hear the truth of my word, you cannot twist it. You must at all costs adhere to every dot and tittle. I am requiring complete obedience from those who are my true soldiers, my true giant slayers, that will take up the sword and cut the giant's head off of the land. I'm sorry, we'll cut the giants off of the land. More and more of the church being seduced by the lying spirits. And why? Because you have hardened your heart to the commands in my word. This opens the doors for every type of ungodly vengeance. There is no more room for any disobedience. The time has come for my glory to fall in all of its fullness. The remnant has been prepared for a season now, and they are like horses at the starting gate, and they want loose to go forth and conquer on all sides and bring in the harvest. In Joel 2:2-4 said, fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. This is what we're supposed to be doing, guys. We're not supposed to be sitting around feeling sorry for herself. We're supposed to be out there doing the work for the Father. God said, holy angelic hosts are everywhere. They are all around you at all times, just waiting for you to give them commands to go forth. Use them, little ones. Use them to defeat the army of darkness. Never for one instant think you are alone. I want to open up your spiritual eyes and allow you to see the angelic host around about. Now is the season for this to happen. Rejoice with the kingdom of heaven. Pull the glory down and march forward into new territories that have never been explored before. The horizons before you are brand new. New revelation in my word, new revelation of how I operate, new revelation of what is going on in the world that you live in. I need you to write book after book, and in these books will be instructions on how to motivate in the darkness as your light shines away. Let's stop there. You know, God said, the horizon before you are brand new. We've never been this way before. New revelation in my word. You know, we read a verse that we've read for years, and all of a sudden, God gives you new revelation of it. New revelation of how I operate. God's shown us right now how he does operate. You know, I read that scripture about the lion's spirit, but never paid any attention to it. All right. New revelation of what is going on in the world that you live in. All right. God wants us, the church, the remnant church, to know ahead of time what is going on in the world so that we can prepare the people for what is coming. We can no longer just sit day by day, just living that day, you know, in idleness. We have to be before the Father's face so he can tell us what is coming down the road. God told me, when he told me President Trump was going to have another term, he also told me that Wade and Roe was going to be overturned. And so I've been saying, God, why isn't President Trump back in office like you said? But I'm believing that when Wade and Roe overturn, I think then the president's office will overturn too. That's what I believe. I mean, that's just what I've said and thought about. And because he told me that those two things together. So I know that Wade versus Roe is going to be overturned. I don't care how long they delay it. It's going to happen because God said so. And God is in control. I don't care what anybody says. Do you think God didn't know I was going to be sick? Do you think God didn't know this whole church was going to be sick? He knew all that. And he even told me, he said, no, daughter, be watchful. He said, because the monies in the church are going to be low. And there's going to be things happening in the church that you're not going to have no control over. You know, he already warned me all this stuff was coming, and it came. And he even told me, he said, you're going to get sick. And he said, you're going to have so much pain that you're going to turn to pills and you'll become addicted. So this leg has caused me a lot of pain. And if I'd had a pill, I'd have taken it every now and then. So you know, God, you know, so now since God warned me of that, I know I can't go down that way. But God did tell me all this was coming. It's no surprise to God. Are you listening to this? And if you really look at your prophetic words, or even if you're praying and listen to what God's saying to you, he's already revealed to you things that are going to happen in your life. And, you know, I talked to Brother Allen the other day, and he was saying, I was talking to him about something. He said, I've been waiting for 5-6 months for this to happen because God told me it was going to happen. And now it's happened. See, you know, if you're really a child of God, really listening to the voice of God, walking in the Spirit, he's always going to tell you what's going on. I was talking to Brother Aaron the other day about something, and he's a talking, and I'm a listening, trying to overtalk him every now and then, and then I was sitting there in so much pain and couldn't already concentrate. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, he's interpreted my dream. He's going on and on. And he's telling me exactly what the dream meant. I said, look at that. And I've never heard him interpret a dream before. I don't know if he does, but you know, there he was. We had the truth all out there. Yeah, so that was the first time for me hearing that. And so maybe if you have a dream, you might... And you don't know what it means. You might ask Brother Aaron, but I checked it out with God real quick. All right, where are we at here? We're on the next page, my church here. My church has not as of yet understood what gross darkness is. Look around about you. What do you see? You see destruction like never before. You see the truth being twisted and turned into a lie. You see perversion after perversion. You are seeing exactly what my word tells you will happen in the end times. Children, do not be deceived. Keep your eyes wide open and your ears constantly in tune to my voice, for I will be giving you instruction after instruction on how to maneuver in this maze of darkness. See, listen for God's voice. You will not be able to go this alone. You need my constant guidance. The great deception is in the atmosphere, and you need to know how to discern the atmosphere over you. You can no longer push these things to the side. They are here, and you need to deal with them. This is where the rubber meets the road. Walk in full knowledge of what is going on in the third heaven at all times. Here he is with the third heaven again. Try the spirits at all times and watch the fruit. Try the spirits at all time and watch the fruit. Excuse me. God said many of you are still going through a transition time. And some of you are starting to get weary because you think God should have you where he told you it was going to be years ago, and you're not there yet, but you're growing weary. And God said you have to watch that. Watch that. Brittany, you must sit down and listen for God's voice, because you have too many voices around about you that are trying to get you to do things that God does not want you to do. You have to understand that the prophets have spoken, and you need to understand that the world does not understand. Adriana, God's saying you need to adhere to everything he's told you. Every dot and tittle, do exactly what he's told you to do if you're going to see the outcome that he's promised you. You can't mess up anywhere. You have to constantly be following his advice. Too many of us in here today, we want to get advice from other people, and we don't really pay attention to what God is speaking to us. Are you one of those? You know, wasn't too long ago that God said here in the church, well, it's time for the first to be last, last to be first. That meant those that were in authority were no longer going to be in authority because they were messing up. And so God was raising up other ones in the church, you know, to take their places. God does that for a season. And, you know, if you adhere to the fact that you messed up, and God really is, you know, trying to get you right, that you'll make out all right. But if you get a bristle in your hair and then you walk out the door, then you're going to be messed up. You have to sit still and say, God, I made a mistake. There isn't one of us, including me in this room today, that has not made a mistake in your walk with God. Not a one of us. And we need to understand that. We need to quit judging everybody around about us. And I hear so much judging anymore. And God says, as you're judging others, I'm going to judge you. None of us are you perfect? There's nobody perfect here. Say no. Say no, 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 no. And you're going to make mistakes in life. But don't make them to the point where God puts a lying spirit to tell you something that he doesn't want you to have. And I'm going to be honest, since this all come about because of somebody said that I was a false prophet. And, you know, I've been seeking God. That about destroyed me the day I heard that. But I've been seeking God's face. And God showed me there's been times in here when I've spoken a word over somebody and I felt funny about it. And God said those were the times that I had a lying spirit tell them what they wanted to hear because they would not adhere to what I'd already told them. So God's used me in that area. It's usually been to somebody to come in to visit who just come just not really to be in the house of God, but just wanted a prophet to speak to them. Don't be chasing prophets. Chase Jesus. And Jesus will never lead you astray. All right. And if you believe one of my tapes are false, and every tape you have is false, throw them all away. Don't keep any of them. Because my prophecies aren't true today, but false the next day. Are you understanding this? Either I'm a true prophet or I'm not. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I was not a true prophet, you wouldn't see me sitting here. I'd be home laying in bed saying, oh, with my leg. But I knew I had to. God said, you have to get back in the house of God. I want you all to think about this. How many times do you know that a lying spirit has come to you and told you something you really wanted to hear and you knew it wasn't right? Just like Jehoshaphat, he knew those false prophets weren't right. He said, I want a true prophet. When Chris and Catherine got married, they had a mess too. And as I was speaking earlier, I just remember how many times that God had to speak to them, and he got mad at him. Okay, you know what, gets it together, and I'll separate you. You know? What do you really want from God is a question here this morning. What do you really want from him? You want the truth? He's not going to give you half truth. Or do you want the lie? You want a lie? It's time for the body of Christ really to just rise up and do what's right. And if you're a pastor, you better not be abusing your sheep. Read what the word says about if you're a pastor, leader, evangelist, teacher, what God's going to do to you. You're going to be judged worse than anybody else. And Brother Brent said it. God showed him a vision of everybody he ever encountered. They all went by him, and he saw everything he ever did to them. And I read somebody else said that. And then I read somebody else said that. So everything you've ever done in your lifetime, when you die and stand before God on Judgment Day, is going to be there. Now, how many of you are going to have three quarters true and a quarter false, or you know where you didn't do right, or vice versa? How many of you are going to be able to stand before God and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? I'm going to tell this story, then I'm going to close. I've watched many people die, you know, over the period of being a pastor. And I watched somebody die, what, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now. And they kept telling me, get that thing out of that corner. And I said, there's nothing in that corner. Get it out. They was furious. And they would just try to jump out of the bed and carry it on. And I got to thinking, why are they saying, get that thing out of that corner? Because everybody ever watched die, they always look up at the ceiling and smile. And I would say, what are you smiling about? And they said, there's angels up there. So when this person died, the minute they breathed their last breath, every bit of flesh, everything went out of them. They were just a skeleton with skin drawn over these bones. That person did not go to heaven. But yet they took, right, I even said to him, are you right with God? Yes, I'm right with God. I go to church. I read my Bible every morning. I give money into the church. I help with the children's fund. Yeah, I'm going to church. I mean, going to heaven. They didn't go to heaven. It's one of those where God says, depart from me, I never knew you. So just because you sit in the house of God, and just because you tithe or do whatever you do, does not give you a place in heaven. You're going to have to be living your life right. You're going to have to be living the love walk. You're going to have to walk in righteousness and holiness. Just because you come in here and sit and listen to me for 45 minutes doesn't mean tiddly if you're not living it. It really doesn't. And I don't want to see any, just like Jesus didn't want to see anybody go to hell, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And that's why God took me to hell. So I could see, because I said, I don't care if you die and go to hell. That's your business. Then God took me to hell and let me see the torment they were going to go into. And when I came back, I didn't want anybody to go to hell from that point on. I didn't want them to suffer like they were going to suffer. So pastors, evangelists, teachers, whatever you are, what have you seen? How are you living? Are you a light? to a dark, dark world. God's saying the church isn't. I know maybe that's why I didn't feel the joy in here, because it's such a serious message this morning. Because God wants you to know there is a lying spirit out there. They're everywhere. They'll tell you what you want to hear. All right. Well, Father, we truly do thank you for your word. I thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. I thank you for everybody who came out. And Father God, you always send out, you always send those that need to hear the message in for that message. So, Father God, I'm asking you to deal with every heart that's sitting in this room or even on this live stream. Deal with their hearts right now, Father. We don't want to hear, depart from me, I don't know you. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want any lying spirit telling us to, things opposite what you want us to do. Go down deep inside of us, Father God, and rip everything out that's not of you. Set us free. Let us be a true example of who Jesus Christ really is. Let us be the love vessels you've called us forth to be. And Father, we surely do thank you. We thank you, Father. I'm just going to say what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that somebody on live stream, you think you're going to heaven and you're not. You need to get before my face and allow me to show you what is in you that is not of me. It's not pleasing me. You need to get things in order. And Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father. We just thank you. Thank you, Father. What God wants to do here this morning is he wants to renew your minds once again. He wants to erase all the false that the enemy has brought into your mind. And he wants to give you a brand new mindset, where you'll listen to God's voice and you'll follow God's voice and do what God's asking you to do instead of doing what you want to do. So the altar's open if you just want God to give you a brand new mind. Rip out all that junk that shouldn't be there to set you free so you can hear God's voice and only God's voice.